Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are honored to have you as our guests, Stony Island Church of Christ. My brothers and sisters, sitting in the back there waving their hands, thank you for coming. Harris family, meet the Stony Island family, my second family. Okay. I would like to give glory and honor to God, who is the creator of all things, seen and not seen, in this life and the life to come. My desire this morning is to share with you a concise, clear, and most of all, a biblical explanation of faith. In the faith. In other words, we have faith, but our faith is in the faith. The objectives that I plan to use will be definitions, scripture references, an illustration, brief commentaries, and a summary. Prayerfully, when all is said and done, a biblical paradigm will have emerged, which will, in fact, give us an understanding of what it is to have faith in the faith. We all need to make sure that we understand indefinitely and without a doubt what is being taught from the Word of God. You don't want no doubts when it comes to Scripture. There will come a time when all of us will undoubtedly ask God for something, whether it be spiritual or whether it be physical. The Bible admonishes us that we must ask with faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You know what it is to be thrown back and forth, not too sure on a spiritual, mental level of what your faith is in. You don't want to be all over the place. You want to know exactly what God's word teaches on faith. In other words, this person that's going to be tossed back and forth is going to be a person whose faith is virtually non-existent. You really don't have a faith. Making that person unstable and easily misled in the things of God, creating a host of problems, and if not corrected, that person will have a distorted faith. A distorted faith which could possibly enable that individual to lose his soul eternally. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his letters, Peter is writing about Paul's letters, speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to understand. For some people, this concept of faith is hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. So when you don't understand, or your faith is not grounded on solid biblical knowledge, then that, in fact, is the problem that you're going to have with understanding what God is saying to you. In other words, when you ask God for this thing, physical or spiritual, you need to know whether or not God hears you or whether or not you're wasting your time. Despite what the world system teaches, there is a penalty to pay for ignorance in faith. There is a penalty. It is my sincere desire to share with you what I believe is one of the most enlightening precepts of Scripture. This sermonette in no way exhausts the subject, but is only a brief introduction into two dynamics of the assurances that God, in His infinite wisdom, has allowed us to utilize while we temporarily pass through this life on our way to our final destinations. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We all here have an appointment with death. What we want to make sure is that when we reach our scheduled appointment, that we are ready. A lot of people talk about, do you have insurance? when you die, well, that's for the families that's left behind, so they can take care of your remains. But there's something that's more important here than the remains that's left behind, because that spiritual you that you carry throughout life still exists, but it just don't exist on this plane. I want to share with you an illustration of faith. A soldier being dealt with by a Christian worker put it very well when he said, "I see it now. God does not expect me to live his life without first giving me his nature." Faith, which implants God's nature in the hearts of man, is saving faith. I'll say it one more time. Faith, which implants God's nature in the heart of man, is a saving faith. And the faith which does not is not a saving faith. Even if a man says he believes there is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ, this declaration will not save him. But going to Jesus Christ and losing himself in him saves him. Faith, which makes us run into the arms of the Lord Jesus, saves. Faith that makes us stand still does not. So we understand faith, Christians, without works is dead. In other words, you can't say, "I have faith," and nothing happens. We understand that. Sometimes outside of Christianity, that's not clearly understood. Faith is, you name it, and you claim it. Okay, that's faith in the world. What you think is what is going to happen. And to some degrees, that is true. You can make a decision to do a thing, educate yourself, and it may happen. Okay. But that's not God's faith. That's a decision you made. What we're talking about now here is the faith that's honored by God. And this is the faith we want to make sure that we're utilizing. With that being said, we're going to proceed. I'll use the references, scripture references, that I had chosen. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I know everyone's eager to get out on a nice hot Sunday and enjoy the sunshine and the things of life. So I'll try to be as brief as possible. And if perhaps I don't get a chance to get through the material, because I do have quite a bit of material. Well, I don't have the material. God has the material. Maybe prayerfully there'll be another opportunity to complete it. But so we'll start. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, if you want to debate when the beginning was, that's on you. And it's going to be very hard to do, because the Bible simply says, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who was he? Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things, it's not complicated. All things, that means everything, all things came into being through him. Who? Jesus. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So everything you see and can understand exists because of who? Him. Him being Jesus. In God. In him was life. We know how important life is. In him is life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There will be no closing, so to speak, the lens of between light and darkness when it comes to Christ. The point that I wanted to relate in regards to John 1:5 is that we have an understanding where things started in the beginning, who was there in the beginning, all things in the beginning, and most importantly, the life that's in him. Because being born in the world does not create the life in him. That creates life. You see, God has some prerequisites that we must meet before we can call ourselves God's children, or Christians, as they say. The Bible speaks specifically of these things. So we need to know that because you were born naturally does not mean that you are a child of God. Actually, the scripture says that in an unregenerate state, you are actually an enemy of God. And we'll explain that as we go through. But Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, that's what we're talking about, is the assurance, keep that in mind, assurance, of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Keep assurance and conviction in mind. The word pistis has been translated faith or faithfulness. And the word faith is the belief, confidence, or assurance we have in some person or something. Jesus used the words faith and belief interchangeably. Be not unbelieving, but believing. All faith is based upon testimony or evidence. No evidence, no faith. God has sent His Son into the world to redeem man. And He requires men to accept Jesus as Christ. Not, however, without ample evidence. He has preserved for and presented to the world through His Word sufficient evidence to convince the world that Jesus is the Christ. John 20, 30 and 31 states, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. They're not here. Jesus did more than is written here. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And I said, I do have a lot of material, so I'm going to speed it up a little bit. And if I'm going too fast, somebody just stick their finger up and I'll know that I need to slow down. Okay. Furthermore, He also explained how to get the faith that honors God. Now, this is something that it's not complicated, but it can be if you believe faith is everywhere in the universe. But He says that in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and by hearing the word of Christ. We now have a basic concept of faith, which basically means an assurance. Now, this faith has to come from within the book. So we know how it's acquired, what it is, where it's coming from, how it's acquired through hearing, and I might also add that when the scripture says faith comes by hearing, it just doesn't mean I heard it, I got faith. No, it means that you have to, how does the scripture put it? Someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Heart, soul, and mind. You got to give your all into understanding God. You're not going to come to God and just kind of nonchalantly understand what it is He has for you, because God has great things for individuals who are sincere in following and participating. The Bible says that eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. So there are some things that's going to take place as a result of being faithful to God. Okay, Brother Harris, why is this so important? The Bible teaches, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please who? without faith, it is impossible to please God. You don't have faith, God not hearing you. Now, let me continue. For he who comes to God must believe, first and foremost, that he is. In other words, you got to believe that God exists. You don't believe he exists, nothing happening. Excuse the vernacular. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are two elements of faith that are categorically absolute. They must take place. The first one is, for he who comes to God must believe he is, number one. And number two, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In that not only must one believe in the existence of God, but that those who diligently seek him, he will reward. The word misthopodotes, translated rewarder, actually means wage payer. So we all know what a reward is. We all know what a rewarder is. God is rewarding those who diligently seek him. And to begin to name the rewards would take all your time this Sunday. We have to come back another time because God is in the business of blessing. And the blessings that he gives, the scripture says, you can't receive. It would be so overwhelming that you have to just take it step by step. I'm getting off point, so let me get back. That is, one who is characteristically and reliably in the business of keeping his promises. That individual who is diligently seeking him and in seeking him, finding the promises and keeping them. On the other hand, I would be amiss if I didn't name a few things that may prevent you or that would be an obstacle to accept these two absolutes previously mentioned. There are some things that intent is just not going to let you have access to God, being God being all good and all powerful and all relevant. The scripture says in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, 5-8, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. This, the natural man, without being unregenerated, cannot even begin to fathom this. In the flesh. Now, real quick, I'm going to explain what the flesh means because we all are composed of flesh. In the Bible, flesh is defined with five different attributes. We only need to concern ourselves with two right here. Okay. The two we need to concern ourselves with is flesh, meaning human nature deprived of the Spirit of God, dominated by the appetites and obeyed by the mind. And the second definition is all mankind. So we got two definitions that we need to consider. Human nature deprived of the Spirit of God, dominated by the appetites and obeyed by the mind. And the other one is all of mankind. Jesus said, and Christians are aware, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless an individual is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Don't be amazed. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. Did you see it? It's there. Okay? And you hear the sound of it, but do you not know, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I probably need to real quickly elaborate on that. This subject about being born again must be accepted by faith. When you hear it, it has to be accepted by faith. The men and women here who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they can't tell you how it happened. But if you ask either one of them, they'll tell you, something changed in my life. I can't tell you when. I know when I put Christ on in baptism. Now, Scripture says it took place then, but I didn't feel it, but it happened. You may ask the question, why? Why is all this relevant to my life? I'm enjoying life. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. In it, faith, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Sorry about that. But the righteous man shall live by faith. I'm just checking my time. Okay, we're getting close. In the book of Jude, in the first chapter, there's only one chapter, but some things were said that we need to understand about the faith. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. There's going to be no more revelations from God. Everything that we have that pertains to life and godliness can be found contained in Scripture. You don't need to search. You need to, by faith, ask God to guide you and direct you into understanding his wonderful plan for your life, which Satan wants to destroy. I will have you to know. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who before long hand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly person who turned the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things, for once and for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, Christians are aware of that. Individuals not in Christ may not understand it, but it can be understood. Subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and even the angels, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Angels will be judged, for it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. The angels that left the kingdom of heaven and sided with Satan, they are going to be judged too. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality. Gross immorality is simply being disobedient to what God's word teaches. Now, gross immorality is what we are aware of that exists in our society, absent from the presence of God. Before you can contend for the faith that has been delivered once for all, you need to have the absolute element named, namely, belief in the existence of God. Without belief in the existence of God, you can stop right there because none of this is going to matter to you. Therefore, before you can contend externally, you must contend within yourself. You have to ask yourself the questions. Is this relevant to me? The scripture says it is. I need to either make a decision, and if you really think about it, basically, in life, that's all we really have is decisions. We make decisions every day. We make choices every day. The decision to accept it or the decision not to. God has gave all mankind will. You make your choices. No one can make them for you. No one can stop you. If you decide this is something I need to understand what Scripture teaches about faith in the faith. And like I said earlier, this is a introduction. This nowhere by any stretch of the imagination could cover everything that God says about faith. But I think that's why he maybe lets us live the amount of time that we live, because it takes time to understand the things of God. It just doesn't happen. Christians have at your defense, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Now, I don't know if I have time. I think I could do it in maybe 4 minutes to read this. Finally, brethren in Christ, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We Christians, you all know that we're not fighting a war with physical weapons. Spiritual weapons. These spiritual weapons will pull down strongholds. These spiritual weapons will bring every thought into the captivity of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the type of weapons we have in the faith. Outside of Christ, and I want to read this. This is from my Master Study Bible. Since God has thus provided the world with ample evidence to produce faith, men are required to believe that Jesus is the Christ and submit to him. And will be condemned if they do not. Jesus himself said, "Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. He that has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And furthermore, since unbelievers are to be punished, and since faith is dependent upon evidence, Jesus commanded his followers. We got a role to play. Christians have a role to play for individuals who are not saved. Okay? And God expects Christians to do this, since they have access to this wonderful faith, to these blessings of God. They have to share these blessings with those who are less fortunate. In other words, those who haven't had a chance to understand what the gospel teaches. Jesus commanded his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is to be made known to all nations, leading to the obedience of faith. Romans 16:25. Scripture says, "And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Romans 10:4. God was well pleased through the foolishness of what the world thinks preaching is. God is pleased with this. Foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. My question this morning is, where are we in our faith being honored by God? God has given mankind sufficient evidence to believe There's nothing that's going to happen that hasn't happened already, other than the fact that your life will be changed for the better. In Stony Island, or in any church of Christ in the country or in the world, because if you look in the directory, you can find churches of Christ located all over the world. The Church of Christ is the blood-bought organism or body of Jesus Christ all over the world. There are individuals in the Church of Christ from every nation on the earth. Every nation. And we still have to reach out to some in our nation, even though there are a lot of individuals from other nations. What God is asking us, we have a sin problem. We need to have it rectified. The only way the sin problem can be rectified is that we do the things that God has commanded us, not what man has commanded. On the back of our bulletin, every week we print this. How to be saved and become a Christian. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and are lost, separated from God. Jesus came to give life. We talked about that briefly earlier. To seek and to save the lost. To be saved, you must hear the word of God. John 6:44. And there are references. I don't have time to read them, but they are pertinent. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of, turn away from your sins. Confess your faith in Christ publicly. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Upon your completion of obedience to God in baptism, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know that when we was talking about it, we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. You will receive that, which will enable you to go before God and ask for his guidance and studying the word of God. Not only can you do it alone, but he has his body here on earth where you can come and inquire as to whether or not we're going in the right direction. But first and foremost is the faith that needs to be addressed. And that faith can only be addressed through your decision. If there's anyone here this morning that is interested in getting to know how to arrive at their final destination intact, then please come forward and we will address the issue as we sing our invitation song.
First, second, and fourth standard.